We come today to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 21. David's little baby boy has just died, and his servants had tried to cheer him up when he was sick, tried to get him to eat, and he didn't. And then after he found out that the child died, he ate. And it says in verse 21, "Then said his servants to him, 'What thing is this that you have done? You did fast and weep for the child while he was alive, but when the child was dead, you did rise and eat bread.'" Couldn't figure that out. Seemed backwards. He said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live?'" So God had told David that the baby would die, but David thought maybe, just maybe, God might change his mind if I pray and if I fast. God is gracious, and he has done things similar to that in the past. Reversed his decree about death. It happened with King Hezekiah, but not this time. Never know how God will respond. 23, "But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And this is why, although baptism is a command and a must, I still believe that babies get to heaven whether they are baptized or not. Jesus said, "Of such are the kingdom of God," talking about little children. David has been with his son for over 3,000 years now. And all the bad that caused all the sadness has long been forgotten. 24. "And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in to her and lay with her, and she bore a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord." God called David and Bathsheba's new baby Love of the Lord. Loved of the Lord, that's what his name means. God had to judge them, David and Bathsheba, for their sin, because he is holy. But notice how God does not hold a grudge. David and Bathsheba can have a good life together, and God will bless them as long as they stay close to him. 26, "And Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, 'I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore, gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name.' And David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he brought forth the people that were therein and put them under saws and under harrows of iron and under axes of iron, and made them pass through the brick kiln. And thus did he to all the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned to Jerusalem." Joab, of course, was David's general, and he fought, and he finished about 99% of the battle, it appears. And then he called for King David to come and finish the job, and that way people would see it as David's victory, not his. See, Joab was David's servant, and that's why he did not want to take the credit. And we are Jesus' servant, and that's why we as Christians should do all things for the glory of God, not for our own glory. Chapter 13, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her." He didn't really love her. He just lusted for her. And of course, Tamar was his stepsister. Verse 2, and Ammon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Ammon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. He couldn't figure out how to satisfy his twisted lust, and so it was torturing him. Sinful desires come fully loaded with their own punishment. If he sins, he's in big trouble. If he continues to think about it, it torments him. The answer is to cry out to God and fill your life with God to ease the pain, and the sooner the better when you find yourself in a situation like that. Ammon should have done that right away. But he just kind of continued to nurse his lust. 3, but Ammon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And this man was no friend, because he only approves of Ammon's desires. He not only approves of his desires, but he's going to help him figure out how to obtain them. You know, the best friend a person has is the one who will try to restrain them from doing what is evil. Your worst enemy is one who tries to talk you into doing what is wrong. Verse 4, and he said to him, why are you being the king's son lean from day to day? Will you not tell me? Ammon was the king's son, which meant he could have just about anything that he wanted. Jonadab, on the other hand, was just a regular guy who couldn't figure out why the son of the king could ever be sad and unsatisfied. But you know, Ammon, even though he was the king's son, he wasn't any happier than Jonadab, because neither one of them had a relationship with God. And that's the only way anyone, poor or rich, can ever feel fully satisfied. And so it says, then he said to him, why are you being the king's son lean from day to day? Will you not tell me? And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said to him, lay you down on your bed and make yourself sick. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, I pray you, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. This guy's a real snake, just like the devil himself. The devil schemes to trap people just like Jonadab, and you cannot trust screamers. Lies and schemes and deceit do not come from the Holy Spirit, but from the devil. And if someone will scheme for you, they will also scheme against you, if it ever suits their purpose. Verse 6. So Ammon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Ammon said to the king, I pray you, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Ammon does not care about Tamar, doesn't care about her, let alone love her. He wants to use her. He doesn't care that in that culture, her life would be destroyed as a result of what he wants to do. He doesn't care. But God does care. God cares enough to demand the death penalty for the sin that Ammon is plotting. You see, cultures may change, but God's opinion of and hatred of this sin does not. Just because something is accepted by culture doesn't mean God has accepted it, and it's foolish to think so. 7, then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go now to your brother Ammon's house and dress him meat." David didn't have any suspicions. And since the word of a father was law, Tamar goes to her brother. 8. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Have out all men from me." And they went out, every man from him. And Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of your hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." Tamar had some holiness standards, and so she's not going to say yes to this, and she is probably insulted that he would even suggest doing such a thing with her. And because look at verse 12. And she answered him, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not you this folly." Such a thing should not be done. She says it should not be done in Israel. It should not be done anywhere. And it is especially bad when God's people do it. It's bad to smash into another car in an uncontrolled intersection, but if you run a red light to do it, it's much worse. And God's people have stop signs and warning lights that go off in their souls during temptations. So if they go through with it, it's extra bad. It's more grievous. 13, and I, where shall I cause my shame to go? You know, when an innocent person has something bad done to them, it's hard for them to forget it. And often it is accompanied by shame, even if no one ever finds out. You know, this feeling of shame will be hard for Tamar to get rid of. Last part of verse 13, she says, "And as for you, you shall be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray you, speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." Right now, she's getting desperate. She'll say whatever might sound like it will work to keep him from doing this. This sort of thing is a nightmare for a woman to go through. 14. However, he would not hearken to her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. He would not listen to her. He did not care. If he really loved her, like he said he did, then her feelings and her honor would have meant something to him, but it was just about his lust. 15. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Arise, be gone." And it says that he hated her, and certainly he hated her now. And not because she did anything wrong, but because every time he looked at her, he was reminded of his own terrible sin. 16. And she said to him, "There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me." But he would not hearken to her. Then he called his servant that ministered to him and said, "Put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her." Chasing her out was like pouring salt on her wound. Nothing could make up for what he did, but he could have apologized, he could have asked forgiveness, and in that culture even married her to save her reputation. But by sending her away after humiliating her, he was saying, "We did this, and it's all your fault." And let's stop right there, and we'll pick it up next time.